Good morning, and welcome to the 7:00 A.M. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, the last paragraph, beginning with the real significance of my experience, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with how blind I had been. Today's readers are Julie R., the 12 Steps, Kathy R., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Judy N. in the text, Craig F. on page 164, and Cheryl L. as our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Deb A., and our second hour moderator is Matt J.F. The share IDs for Monday, January 12th, 2026, are 7:00 A.M. Eastern Time is 23,118. That's 23,118. And the 10:00 A.M. Eastern Time is 23,119. 23,119. Oh, a preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Julie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Rick. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Julie. I will now ask Kathy R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Kathy R. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, the last paragraph, beginning with the real significance of my experience, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with how blind I had been. I will now ask Judy N. to begin reading.
Good morning, Rick. This is Judy N. from Maryland, living recovered one day at a time. Thank you for your service. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself, and so it had been ever since. How blind I had been. Bill's referring to when he first lands in England, and he's at West Winchester Cathedral, and he's moved, he's touched. And he goes out in the cemetery and comes across a tombstone about a soldier who died from drinking rather than from battle. And he also had failed to take the warnings of his family and the prejudices that his family had about alcoholism because it was prevalent in his family. At that time, he says he wanted God, and I can relate to that because I knew when I was living on my self-will that I believed in God, and I was thinking about God, and at times, you know, in prayer. So he has this willingness to have God with him, and God is there, and I feel that too. But God's presence is blotted out by worldly clamors, and that's because I'm still living on self-will. I'm still living by and dependent on society's values of how I should live. I'm driven by those values, and I'm still living within my own character defects. So God will drift away, or I will drift away from God's presence, and, as Bill did. And he ends it with how blind I had been. Well, we don't know what we don't know, and we can't see what we can't see. So if I'm living in the disease, I don't know anything. I don't know until an Ebby or a meeting or a sponsor comes into my life to guide me through the steps or to guide me to recovery. I really don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it really is a state of helplessness. Bill was lucky. He will later write about this, his false dependencies, these worldly clamors that we live by. I can't live by the society's values because I'm an addict, and I have an addict brain. So I need to live by God's will, not my will. And I'm just grateful that we all have Ebbies now at this meeting, and we have other resources and tools to give us that daily reprieve that we need to stay physically, mentally, and spiritually well. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Judy. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Nancy R.
Nancy R.
Reva P.
Gotcha, Reva. Who else?
Josephine Vass, New Jersey.
Vasa O.
Vasa O. And then Josephine. Did you say yeah. Josephine?
Yes, Josephine S. Like Sam from New Jersey.
Okay. Gotcha, Josephine. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Irene M. Maryland.
Okay, Eileen M., and then who is that in Michigan, the gentleman?
Sim, with an S, S-I-M.
S-I-M?
Yep.
And first initial, last name?
B, as in boy.
Okay,
Sim.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Lisa B.
Okay, anybody else? Oh, is this Lisa?
Yes, Lisa BT. Thanks.
Okay, I think we're going to stop there. And then we'll get some more names later. But this is who I have. Nancy R., Reva P., Josephine S., Vasa O., Eileen M., Sim B., and Lisa BT. Okay, Nancy R., you're up first, followed by Reva P. Go ahead, Nancy. And please remember to include where you're calling from, guys.
Okay. Good morning. Nancy R., recovering compulsive overeater from Illinois. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. So I find that I can not only not only reminds me of how I was, but how I am today. I have brief moments when I connect with God and, have this humble willingness to have him with me. And when I have that, he came, my higher power, is there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so I have, that sentence, there had been a humble willingness to have him with me and he came. Have that underlined in my big book and a P next to it indicating that it's a promise. If I want and need God and have a humble willingness to have him with me, he will come. And I experience that a lot throughout my day. When I take those brief moments, what blocks my relationship with God in other moments throughout the day are the worldly clamors, mostly those within myself, my thinking, my wants, my desires, my plans. And I'm grateful today that I have the tools and the relationship with my higher power to keep coming back to walking it with and asking God what's next in my day. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy R. from Illinois. Reva P., you are up next, followed by Josephine S. Go ahead, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I really relate to this paragraph because, you know, Bill's talking about before he met Ebby and his experience in the cathedral. But for me, I have to remember early in program and constantly, I can need and want God. You know, step one, I'm powerless. Step two, I need a power. And I can have some spiritual awareness and get like this sense of God. But if I don't continue, because in the next paragraphs, he gets separated from alcohol and then he works through the steps really quickly. If I don't then proceed to work through the steps and have a spiritual awakening, the spiritual awakening is what gives me the recovery, what gives me the, I guess, that power to be in neutrality and to refrain from those worldly clamors. And for me, that's what it's all about in 10, 11, and 12, because I'm constantly getting influenced by worldly clamors, mostly within myself. And it is noisy. It can get very noisy in my head if I get into self. So it's constant action, to stay in the presence of God, because otherwise I am blind. I don't see things the way God wants me to see them. I don't hear things. I use like the Reva disease translator, and I hear things that really are not being said. So for me, that's a great reminder. It's a 24-hour job to watch out that I stay in that spiritual awakening state and keep that channel clear, because otherwise God gets blocked out. But then I also, I love the saying I hear on the meeting, you know, when I then need God, you know, he will run to me, but I have to do the work. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Josephine S., you're up next, followed by Vasa O. Go ahead, Josephine.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for your service and for the beautiful share so far. You know, I'm definitely a compulsive overeater, and I'm working in recovery here. This is a really beautiful part of the story, Bill's story. So I was in a 12-step fellowship. I was in Gammonon, which is like the Al-Anon of gambling, and going to meetings because I was in a relationship with somebody who was, you know, gambling, and going, listening to the 12 steps and complaining about my problems, And finally somebody gently said to me, why don't you work on yourself and sleep? And so I was gaining weight. Of course, I had my coping skills was just eat. So I was gaining weight like crazy. So I went to an OA meeting, and I was shocked at the OA meeting, because my very first OA meeting, it was the same 12-step program. The only thing was that I'm powerless over, they changed the word. And that was when I really, the spirituality of the program just hit me right in the face. I said, I know these steps. I've, you know, been going to meetings, you know, a couple times a week. It's the same, but I wasn't understanding that I needed to pray for myself. And that night I went home and I prayed for myself. And that was God. And I said, if there's somebody listening to me, can I just have 3 meals tomorrow and stay off the sugar? And that was the beginning of God showing me God's power for me. And that was the beginning of my first weight loss. It was a 60-pound, 9-month weight loss. And that was only through the grace of God. I could never have lost more than 5 pounds ever in my life before. I just always gained. And that was a miracle. And like, I just knew that I wasn't alone, that there was a God, and I had my first spiritual awakening. But staying in that spiritual awareness takes a lot of work. I did drift. I did, you know, gain the weight back. And I had to start all over again. So staying there is, you get caught up in the world. You get caught up in life. You get caught up in, the life around you and myself. I get caught up in myself, my own worries, my anxiety. Fears come back, and as I drift from my spirituality, from my relationship with my higher power and my routines, I start to pick up what moves back in is anxiety, or, you know, fear of this or fear of that, or, you know, my fears, they start creeping back in because I am not trusting. So it's just constant battle. So now where I am at this place is, you know, realizing that as I drift, my fears will come back, the food will come back, and I have to have a sponsor. I have to be actively working the steps, not like rushing through them like I've done in the past. Can't wait to get the steps, you know, 12 and think I've got it. I need to continue to work through the steps. And so with that, if anybody's struggling, stick with the program. It will happen. We just got to keep trying different things. And I'm so grateful to have this community. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, thank you, Josephine S. from New Jersey. Vasa O., you are up next, followed by Eileen M. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you. I believe it's Rick, right?
That's correct.
Thank you. I came a little late. Thank you. Thank you, Rick, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And this is really a good paragraph, and I tried to identify with Bill and Bill's story. Although he was an alcoholic, I was food addict. So to me, it's the same thing in many ways, But anyways, I did come from religion, but I didn't understand the food addiction or any of the disease of the food addiction. I had no clue about it. But I remember being overwhelmed one time coming home from shopping. And before I came to the program, I remember feeling so overwhelmed with life problems, even with a food addiction, which I didn't even know was food addiction. I didn't know anything about the allergy of the body or the mental obsession. I had no clue. And I remember reaching out to God and saying, please, God, if you're out there, show me where you are. Give me a sign where you are. And guess what? Not too long after that, could have been a week, maybe 2 weeks, Abby showed up to my door, my kitchen door, in the morning. So I could relate with Bill's story, how his Abby showed up in his house. And my Abby was a friend of mine, had been recovering from food addiction and also alcoholism, but her number one addiction was food. And I hadn't seen her for a while. She looked wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful, glossy eyes. She had lost weight. And we struggled together, you know, going on all those crazy diets over the years. And I said, what have you been doing? You look wonderful. And she told me a little bit about the program. And I wanted what she had. She seemed so peaceful, so serene. She's a teacher. She's a teacher. So she had a way of explaining things to me for about a week about the 12 steps, about food addiction, about the allergy of the body. She gave me so much hope. And I could not wait. I could not wait for her to take me to my first meeting. And it was a week later. And I walked in that meeting. And I saw people happy, laughing, and, you know, and then, you know, when they started the meeting, they started with the 12 steps, the serenity prayer. I think they said the God's prayer in those days. And I just felt at home. I said, you know, they were talking about the same thing that I had been struggling for 25 years. So they were talking about problem and the solution. And this is what I have found. I was so grateful that the God, my higher power, had led me into Overeaters Anonymous because I'll wrap it up, dying gradually, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Vasa O. from Florida. Eileen M., you are up next, followed by Sim B. Go ahead, Eileen. And please, guys, remember to introduce yourselves, including your state or country. Go ahead, Eileen.
Thank you, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Eileen M. in Maryland, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be here this morning. I love where it says that, you know, Bill had a humble willingness. And, you know, that is just such a key thing. You know, when we talk about we need a little bit of willingness to get started in this program. And I also know what it's like to have a spiritual experience but not have a spiritual awakening. So, you know, he has this beautiful spiritual experience and, you know, God comes to him and, you know, and he has this sense of hope. And so, you know, he's pretty excited about it. However, you know, I love where it starts the sentence with but. You know, I learned a long time ago that anything after but is BS. You know, anytime I would try to say, give an excuse to a sponsor, you know, or someone in the program, I would say, but, and they're like, yeah, no. Anything that you're going to say is going to be discounted. So anyway, I Bill's mind, you know, his alcoholism, his self-will, it takes over again. And this is, so he has one more relapse. He has one more stay at the town's hospital coming up. Before he gets this thing, before he gets recovery. And, you know, there's a big difference between having a spiritual experience and having a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I think Reva P. had touched upon that. And that is such a key thing, you know, work the steps, live the steps, and, you know, and have this relationship with God. You know, I feel badly, actually, for people who are agnostics or atheists. You know, I do, you know, and it's, everybody is welcome in OA. Everyone is welcome in AA. That's great. You know, and there is secular recovery. There's secular OA as well for people who absolutely cannot, you know, muster the willingness to have a relationship with God. I'm grateful for that relationship today. And to be honest, it's the most important relationship I have in my life today. And I want to keep that going, and I want to keep that connection. So anyway, thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen M. from Maryland. Sim B., you are up next, followed by Lisa B. T. Go ahead, Sim.
Hey, hi, good morning, everyone. This is Sim B. in Michigan. I'll leave my phone number now. My number is 914-419-7552. And that's where I'm at in my program. So just hearing bits and pieces, because that's really where my mind has been this morning. I'm not going to pretend that my presence has been 100%. And bringing a sense of humor to the imperfect presence is really what I'm getting from Bill's story over and over. The humble willingness is just why I'm here. If I didn't have humility, I could not be here right now. And knowing that I'm going to continue to follow by faith and be witnessed by you all is such a gift, because I know that I'm not left on the ground in these rooms. I'm not left, you know, just frozen and destroyed by the disease. Because I'm sensing the deeper grief, you know, from this. I sense Bill's grief. I sense this sense of wanting that connection, and yet the looking for it in the wrong places, looking for it in the, you know, in our case, or in my case, in the refrigerator, or at a bar, or, you know, my glove compartment with some peanuts or something, you know, like, what's the deal is the the part. And in many ways, like, I've felt like I'm in a hospital. Like, I feel like my life is very much mirroring Bill's life, and yet coming out of it little by little, there is this return to shine. And a return to other people. You know, I'm in a men's group, and as I've leaned into this program, I've invited others to let go of their vices as well. And so now we all are gathering and holding each other in person, because I need it. I need to be able to lean into that robust vulnerability with other people. With men, with my wife, with my children, with my clients, like, not to pretend that I have life figured out, but just returning to God and trusting that each time I breathe with God and let God return me to wholeness by breathing, just the simple act of being grateful for breath, like, wow, that's the storehouse for all that I'm searching for in in the form of food, in the form of something outside of, instead of
time,
inside. And I'm grateful. Thank you so much. Bless you all.
Thank you, Sim B from Michigan. Lisa BT, you are up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, thanks so much. This is Lisa BT in Ontario, Canada. Very grateful, compulsive overeater. I was so struck today. I just had to speak up because this happens to me often, and I feel it's kind of what happens every time I'm broaching when I know I need to do a 10th step, and I'm actually grateful I even know I need to do one. It's the line here, it says, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors. That's where I thought the sentence ended. When I am sort of in a place of irritability or of discontent, or when I'm in a place of I've been hard done by, and that's where my thinking is, and it's all about me, I realized that's what's in the text here as well. It says, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, and then, comma, mostly those within myself. And when that was read out loud this morning, I got...
We lost you there. I think you muted yourself. Lisa, can you check to see if you can unmute? Okay.
Hi there. Sorry about that. There's been a few people. I don't know if it's just a Canadian thing, but a few people, the line keeps dropping. So that's obviously what just happened. So I'll just say quickly, and I don't know where I ended, but the line, mostly those within myself, I don't recall ever hearing or seeing that before this morning. And yet I've looked in, done big book studies and meetings like this lovely meeting now. And for some reason this morning, that really struck me. Most of the clamors are within me, and they are what absolutely blocks out God and allows me very much to have a very self-centered view of whatever's going on. And I'm so grateful for the 10th steps. And I'm so grateful that every time I forget, it's possible to re-remember, to pause and bring God back in. Every time I do that, my perspective shifts. Might not be right away, but it shifts. And this morning, as I say, I just was so struck by how does this feel like new language to me today when I've been reading this book for some years now. And I'm very grateful that it's clear to me this morning that most of these clamors are indeed within myself. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lisa BT from Ontario. Okay, before we get our second group of names, just a reminder that we do leave our phone numbers later on at the end of the second hour, and or at the first, as we if we haven't left our numbers before. So before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 12, the last paragraph, beginning with the real significance of my experience, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with how blind I had been. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Sally.
Okay, I got Sally A, I think. And then who is that with the last initial M?
Michelle.
Okay, Michelle M.
Yes.
Okay. Who else? Got plenty of room here, guys. Jump on in.
Virginia T.
Virginia T.
And K.
Who is that, K?
Darian.
Darian. Gotcha, Darian.
Yep.
And then Virginia, what was the first initial of your last name? Well, we'll figure that out later. Okay, who else
Amber
would like
B.
to share?
Amber B.
Amber B. Gotcha. Here's who I have so far. Sally A., Michelle M., Virginia, Darian K., Amber B. Did I miss anybody? Or would anybody else like to share?
Alexis F.
Okay, Alexis.
Thank you.
And that's F as in fabulous? Okay. So, Sally A., you are up next, followed by Michelle M. Go ahead, Sally.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your leading this morning. First, I want to say there's been such great shares this morning. I want to say thank you for making this meeting so wonderful. All of you have shared. This is Sally A.
Sally, can you go ahead and introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, I was just there. This is Sally A. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Sorry about that, Sally. Didn't mean to interrupt you and pre-exempt you.
Oh, okay. I thought I was on. I wasn't muted. This is Sally A. I like to say sometimes Sally, Queen of Relapse A in New York, because I've had 43 years of this program, and I too want to share on this sentence. There was a humble willingness to have him with me. Many, many times I've had this humbleness, this willingness to have God with me. And, you know, we see that right across the page. We see these, what the requirements for getting well, it does require these elements of a way of living, belief in a power of God, plus willingness, honesty, and humility. It's interesting how the bottom line is that this is what is required, this humility, this humble willingness to have him with me. And he came. And he does always come when I pause, as someone just mentioned that, my favorite word in the whole book, pause. If we pause and we ponder and we pray, my higher power never fails me. He comes, but soon the sense of his presence is blotted out by my selfishness and my self-seeking and my dishonesty, largely my dishonesty and my fears. You know, I often have stumbled back into the food because of these gateway drugs for me. You know, they talk about gateway drugs for other isms. But for me, my gateway drugs have always been popcorn and peanuts and all the stuff that doesn't come under the heading of, for me, flour and sugar. And these things lead me back to that, to the fence that I try to put up, which doesn't work. It really boils down to me pausing and turning to my higher power. My worldly clamors, I have kicked God out of the driver's seat so many times, I can't even tell you. And God is such a gentleman. He gets in the back seat and he waits for me to crash the car. And then once again, I humbly, willingly ask my higher power to be in the driver's seat and be the leader of my life, be the not just the Savior, but the Lord of my life. And that's what makes the difference for me. It's that constant daily pausing throughout the day and reminding myself and even asking, is this okay? Can I eat this? You know, I often am confronted with peanuts. They're everywhere. I'm not kidding you. And that's just not an option. It's not my food anymore. And that's just for me, you guys. I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying for me, that is one of the things that have tripped me back into the quicksand many times. And I hope this is the last time that I'm separated from my illness, as he talks about in the last sentences of this paragraph. I've been abstinent for 7 months at this point, and one day at a time, I'm abstinent today. I choose to be abstinent today. And everybody, have a great day, and I hope to see you at the birthday party this weekend if you're going to be there. And if you need a room, call me. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you, Sally A. from New York. Michelle M., you are up next, followed by Virginia. Go ahead, Michelle. Michelle M., hit star one.
Oh, I thought I was unmuted. Thank you. Good morning. This is Michelle M. From Arizona and recovered compulsive overeater. I was really struck by a couple of things, and I appreciate the perspective because it allowed me to make a shift to look at how my character defects are kind of showing up. But when I think of humble willingness, I used to think of that as determination. You know, I'm going to get this done. I am not going to binge and purge today. I. And it was 100%, you know, control. I never thought about humble willingness as a tool letting go. And I do today because I see the difference so starkly. Determination never got me anywhere. So humble willingness, you know, I had a situation at work yesterday where restraint of tongue and pen was not what I did. And it didn't feel good. Didn't feel good at all. I basically asked out over this one person that I was talking to on the phone who wasn't doing what I thought that they needed to do and clearly not understanding me. And then after that, you know, as I'm dripping in the by-blow of that, I was, you know what, I really don't want to do this anymore. And then it dawned on me, God constantly gives me opportunities to change my behavior. And I really got the connection between humble willingness and determination. And I love the worldly clamors that are in my own brain. I talk to my sponsor about that daily. And one thing that she has shared with me that is very easy to remember, and when I do it, I get the fruits of it, and that is pause, pray, proceed. So I am really seeing the connection between humble willingness, opportunities to change, and bringing God in, and my negative thinking, which creates a world that doesn't exist that I react to. And so I get a chance to change that today. And I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michelle M. from Arizona. All right. Okay, Virginia, you are up next, followed by Darian K. Go ahead, Virginia.
Hello, thank you. This is Virginia T. from Texas. Everybody's already said what I'm going to say, but I'll say it anyway. God is here and waiting for me. And that's what I get from this paragraph. God's waiting. And it never fails. It feels so good when I say, oh, yes, God, I humble myself to you. And then it seems like I take two steps. And it's all about what Virginia wants and what Virginia thinks. I won't even say what I want. It's what I think. And maybe I will use the three P's. Who knows? I'm going to try to use the three P's. I want to keep this connection that I feel with God. And it takes humility. And letting go what Virginia thinks. But I'm so damn smart, really? Definitely. Definitely. I trip over my own feet. Because I can, quote unquote, figure it out. That has been my fallback. I don't need that to be. Because I'm no good at running my own life. I've proven that over and over again. In weight gain, in addiction, things of this nature. It's only when I turn it over. Turn it over. That's what the steps are for, to say, hey, smart person, you have to turn it over. You can't do like this. And so I thought about God in my driver's seat. But I've often thought I drive better when I consider God my passenger. Like, oh, I don't want you to see me speeding. But jokes aside, a humble beginning is all he needed. And that's all I need. Thanks for letting me share today. Virginia T. in Texas.
Well, thank you, Virginia T. from Texas. Darian K., you are up next, followed by Amber B. Go ahead, Darian.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Yep, okay, thank you. Good morning, Darian K. in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. And gratefully recovered and glad to be with all of you. Morning. I was just thinking, I don't know why things come into your head when they do, but I was making a connection of something that I was talking to. I work in the schools, and we were talking about animals and how animals adapt. I mean, we were talking about polar bears and how they adapt to their surroundings. And imagine living in the Arctic. And they're not interested in worldly glamours, are they? They just, you know, they get four layers of you know, fat and fur, and they hunt, and they take care of their, you know, little ones, and they they dig holes, you know, in the snow. They're not thinking about anything else. They're just, you know, their instincts are at work, and they're following their instincts. And then we have these humans, you know, us humans, that complicate everything because we have that higher intelligence where we know what we know, and we think we know everything, and we get in the way. I get in the way, and that's what it made me think of. I get in the way, you know, the worldly clamors and the pride and prejudice, like we said before, and all the other things. Oh, I, you know, that's too hard, or, oh, I couldn't do that, or I can't stick with this, or maybe I'll try for a little while, but not if it takes too much effort or work, right? Work is a four-letter word, in my opinion. It's, you know, I don't want any part of it. I want the easier, softer way and big, big results. And that's the lie. That's the lie I told myself all the time, you know, before program. And also, too, for me personally, God was only there probably till I was like 13, after I got bat mitzvah. Then it was like, no, see you later. And also, if I wanted things, like, please give me a boyfriend, or, you know, please, I don't know, silly things. Not anything that was going to, you know, revolutionize my life. Because I didn't think God would even have the time for anything, you know. He was already taking care of big things in the world. So for me to be in a program of recovery and to depend on God on a daily basis, for my food first and foremost, and then my life, and getting through a day at a time with curveballs and, you know, sadness and joy and whatever is in between, and just living a day at a time without picking up the food, it's, to me, a pure miracle. It's an absolute pure miracle in my life, and I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for all of you, and I'm grateful that I have eyes to actually see. Yep, thank you. I have eyes to see you know, where the goodness is in life, and I don't have to get wrapped up in the clamor. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. All right, Amber B., you're up next, and Alexis F., since you shared yesterday, I'm going to ask that you please hold back and share on Thursday, and I can't wait to hear your share then. Amber B., go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much. My name is Amber B. in Pennsylvania. And yeah, this paragraph, and thank you to everyone for your shares, is such a good reminder that it's, in my case, I feel like I've been in this space of my willingness and my openness to the idea of a higher power, when it strikes, so does to all of the like connectedness that I can feel to that higher power. When I first, you know, joined OA, which was not so long ago, I still consider myself quite a newcomer, just, you know, a handful of months ago, I stepped into my first meeting, and it was that sense of willingness was so strong, and I was open to whatever the meeting had in store for me. I didn't really know what to expect, and following that meeting, I feel like I was so connected because I was able to see what I call my higher power's like references, really like these mini miracles everywhere. And the mini miracles are not these like grandiose, huge happenings in my life, but they're the small things that you're like, wow. If like, how did these coincidences come together in such a way that, you know, it's bringing this mini miracle into my life? So this idea of, you know, having the openness, having the willingness, and allowing God or your higher power to come into your life is really what brings that connection alive. And as in Bill's story, he says, you know, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. So is true. I notice that I lose that connectedness when I stop practicing, when I stop, you know, really putting myself into a place where I am outreaching to my higher power, trying to connect, doing service, you know, everything that we do within this program. And it very quickly fades away. And it requires that effort. So I think, you know, as a reminder to myself in all of these shares and through this, you know, wonderful paragraph, it's be present and, you know, be connected to your higher power constantly throughout the day. My sponsor has gifted me with a beautiful little tool, which I'm sure many of you have used and probably know of, but for me was very new, which are God alarms. And just setting like little timers on my phone throughout the day at random times or like on, you know, my smartwatch so it just buzzes silently for me. But just these little reminders to tune in, just tap in. And through that, you're able to stay connected and remind yourself of your higher power. And so that has been a really powerful tool for me as just like the frequency in the check-ins. And I think it can come in many ways, like whatever shape and, you know, form it takes for you as an individual. For me, it's, you know, just a moment of silence, a moment of like deep breathing, and that can help to reset me and also create that space and openness for whatever my higher power wants to share with me. So thank you all for your service. Thank you all for your shares, especially. I think, you know, the shares are such a powerful
way. That's time, Amber.
Thank you. Make meaning. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amber B. from Pennsylvania. We've got a minute if someone would like it.
This is Maisie C. from Massachusetts. I'll take that minute if that's okay.
Sure, you go right ahead, Maisie.
Thank you. Thank you for your service and everybody for being here. And I'm so grateful. It literally brings tears to my eyes to be connected to a beautiful group and to know that my priority in life is God, because I can't do anything without God. I'm so grateful I came into the program, because prior to program, I always believed in God, but I didn't believe God was there for me, because that's what I was told. And then I was told, are you kidding me? You think God cares about what you're eating? Don't you think he has more important things to do? No, he doesn't, because this is his vessel. This is his temple. My body is his temple. And when I'm abusing it, I'm abusing him. And I know that. And I've heard so many beautiful things. I just wished I wasn't rushing to go to the doctors, but so I could take notes. But I guess I thank God I can re-listen to the meeting, because I'm going to, because there were so many beautiful things, beautiful messages that I need to hear. And I like what I just
heard. That's time, Maisie.
Thank you. I'll wrap up about putting a little timer on and just remembering to bring God in all through the day. Thank you so much. You all have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Maisie C. from Massachusetts, and thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, January 13th, 2026, is 23,121. That's 23,121. I'll close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay, Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.